Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, the season is almost over, dude. 8 games left. And let's see, 8 games left, and that's more games left than podcasts we've recorded this season.
Yeah, good times. I wonder if those two things are related, given how the Sharks have done this season.
Doubtful, dude. Doubtful.
Oh, yeah.
I did go to the game last night, I will say. Went to the Sharks game, and
watch the Sharks get scored on within the first 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to say, I wasn't even at my seat yet when I heard...
You're still grabbing the beers.
When I heard the goal happen and the guy behind the concession thing, this is what he did, dude. This is for real.
Okay.
You hear the cheer from inside of all the Kraken fans. There were a lot of Kraken fans there last night. And the guy at the Smokin' Pig kiosk goes, "Yep." that's the season in a nutshell. Sharks lose again last night. 8 games left. They are far and away the leaders in the clubhouse for the best odds to have the number one pick, the worst record. They have the worst goals allowed. They are the worst team in the NHL. Silver lining is could be coming soon if we are somehow able to score this top pick and pair the two college hockey freshman sensations together. Fingers crossed, dude.
For sure, dude. And I got to hand it to the Sharks. They have really put their heart and soul into this losing thing. Because if we look at the record, you know, I like to bring up, for whatever reason, I like the ESPN schedule so I can see, you know, the green versus red wins and losses. The Sharks have gone on 2 9-game streaks since February 17th without a win. So they won on the 15th and they lose in the shootout or overtime 9 straight games, and they win 2-1 against Ottawa. Then they lose or lose in overtime for 9 straight, and then they crush St. Louis for reasons unknown, and then they lost to Seattle last night. So the Sharks have really decided, this is us. This is us.
When you look at the social media response from the Blues beat writers and people who cover the Blues from that loss that they took against the Sharks, I mean, overwhelmingly, they wrote things like, this may be the most embarrassing loss in recent Blues memory,
right.
Blues should be embarrassed. Blues humiliated tonight. Like, for a team that is actually in, you know, they're chasing the LA Kings for a playoff spot, right? The Blues are not out of it. I think they are, you know, it's them, it's Vegas, right? The Kings, they're all kind of down in this bottom spot for the final wild card, dude. What's the separation here between the Kings, the Knights, and the Blues?
So the Knights have 90 points, the Kings 87, and the Blues 84. So the Blues are 3 points out of a wild card as of now. So yeah, they're right in it. And the Wild are 5 points back of that. So the Wild are fairly far out. And the Sharks, the Hawks, the Ducks, and the Yotes have all been statistically, mathematically eliminated.
Right. So the Blues needed those points against the Sharks.
They did.
And they laid a huge steamer and got embarrassed. At one point, they had no shots on goal in the entire period.
Oof.
When you think about that against this Sharks team, which is just a defensive sieve, I mean, like, they are pretty horrific in their own end. And getting to watch them in person last night, there were just so many blunders, dude. In their own end, things that just don't go right. They can't make the basic play with any consistency, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And some of that's youth and inexperience, and some of it's just, you know, don't have very good players, right?
They're just not that good.
That combination together is why they have the worst plus minus in the league, goal differential, and worst record. Dude, but again, this is where we are. This is why Puck Daddy suggested that Mike Greer should be GM of the year, dude.
Don't you love that take? The spiciest take ever. So funny. I mean, because it's about the Sharks, which aren't very polarizing, it's not as spicy of a take as it could be. But I thought that was a pretty spicy take, and I appreciated it. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but I liked it. I liked it. He said Greer did everything he needed to do this year, right? He got rid of, unfortunately, a not very good-looking contract on its face, and Tomas Hertl, especially after the knee injury, got rid of that. He's in good position to get a very high draft pick. Check that box, too. Logan Couture, long-term IR, no good players, check, right?
And the Carlson trade, really, I mean, that has not worked out well for Pittsburgh.
No.
They have gotten worse since he arrived, and that's not all his fault, but now they are stuck dealing with him as part of their collection of... It's sort of like Guardians of the Galaxy, where they're just collecting old things.
Yeah.
That's what Pittsburgh's done now.
Yeah.
And now that is not Greer's problem anymore. You know, he wasn't able to turn anything that, you know, Hoffman went for nothing. Granlund, if he continues to play well, could be a valuable asset, you know, next year, similar to what he was able to get for Duclair, which was a pretty nice return. And that's worked out very well for Tampa Bay, by the way. Duclair has been very good since going over there. You know, if you can turn Granlund into a third round pick and some other team's number three prospect in the end, well, then that trade just looks better, right? So, yeah, dude, I mean, GM of the year, no. But did he make some really hard decisions this year and possibly come out looking better for it in the end? It's possible, yeah. Right? It's possible.
And certainly in the benefit of hindsight, the Timo Meier trade doesn't look so bad either.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, Fabian Zetterlund is a real deal hockey player, right? Who you said, you know, we had lunch today before we're recording.
I was checking my statement, which actually is not true.
Well, but what's the production like, dude?
So Fabian Zetterlund has 21 goals, 17 assists for 38 points. Timo Meier on the Devils has 46 points, 24 goals, 22 assists. So
sure,
they're in the same ballpark.
They are in the same ballpark at a fraction of the price, dude.
That's
and
right.
Like, you know, at this point on this team, you would rather have Fabian Zetterlund. I mean, he is a player that's on the up. And what, Meier with 40, mid-40 points? That is not good for a player that's getting paid what he's being paid.
Yeah.
On a team that was supposed to take a step forward, and they took a step backwards this year. Okay, you know, your Sharks getting Zetterlund, getting Mukhamudulin for an underperforming Timo Meier, who's not on a long-term deal with the Sharks. When you think about it, if the Sharks had gone the other way and they had signed him, then they would have had a real problem, like a huge problem. And that was a tough decision to make, and it was unpopular in a lot of ways with a lot of fans. And, you know, last night of the game, dude, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they announced the crowd as. There were 5,000 people there, maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, it was not
Monday night game versus not a marquee opponent.
And there were, you know, I'd say a fifth of the stadium was Kraken fans, right? Mm-hmm. And dude, I mean, you know, if you're not a season ticket holder and you're just buying general seats, I mean, we were sitting behind in the lower bowl and I had nobody around me. My entire row was empty. The five rows in front of me were completely empty. I mean, there were hundreds of seats around me empty. I'd never, ever seen it like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was wild. It was like being at a Bulls game, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I remember that.
Which I saw a Bulls jersey last night, dude.
Nice.
Which got me fired up.
I got mine.
Bulls jersey.
I still got my jersey.
Yeah.
My Bulls jersey.
Spiders jersey, dude.
I never got a Spiders jersey. I think I still I don't know if I still have my Spiders hat.
Yeah.
I had a Spiders hat there.
I have a Bulls jersey somewhere as well. We'll have to break that out one of these times, dude. But yeah, rough night last night at the Tank. But I will say this, you know, I think I talked about this last year. I went to the Sharks Foundation fundraiser last year. It was a cool event. Got to meet some of the players, and they did a great job with that. At that event, I bought a like a in-game co-host package where at the silent auction for my daughter to do at the game last night. The Sharks staff were awesome. Everybody was super nice. We got to go downstairs, walk through the Sharks offices, walk past the coach's office. I wanted to ask David Quinn about LeBanc. I didn't do it. I just kept walking, dude.
Good move.
We got to hang out underneath the Sharks head, watch warmups there. And then, dude, this was a bucket list thing for me. We were down there pregame for the Sharks entering through the head. We got to give fist bumps, high fives to the players as they came through. Dude, that was really, really cool to get to do that. We've been lucky enough to be down there post-game, but never for that moment.
Right.
We were on the telecast, dude. I went back and you could see us down there, you know, grinning, you know. It was really fun, like, to get to have that. And then my daughter got to shadow Emily, who's the in-game host at the arena now, for the first two periods of the night. She let her do a ton. Like, she got to talk on the mic. She was on camera all the time. Got to go down on the ice for two of the competitions.
So neat.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. So full marks to the Sharks staff for giving our family an incredible experience last night in kind of a tough year, right?
You know? No kidding.
They made it fun for us and for my daughter. So, dude, if any listeners ever have the experience or ever have the opportunity to bid on something through the Sharks Foundation, I would say, from my experience, it was worth it. Like, they delivered. It was a really high quality experience where they could have completely, you know, understanding this year how bad the year is, they could have, no pun intended, tanked it, right?
Yeah.
And that's not what happened. They were awesome.
Well, so, cool.
Very cool. I'm
glad it made a not very good night for the Sharks a good win for you guys.
Yeah. I gotta say, the second half of the game, I thought the Sharks were the better team. They just got off to such a bad start. Some things that I noticed, dude, I mentioned earlier to you that I really like Klim Kostin.
Yeah.
I think that that's been a pretty solid under-the-radar pickup for the Sharks. He's under contract next year. He's just freaking massive. He's like a concrete wall on skates.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got some touch. I think he's, you know, I was seeing that, you know, he think he's got... It's like the second leading scorer on the team in the last couple of weeks.
Nice. Got that tip in from Vlasic.
And he's excited. I mean, he mentioned in one a recent interview that he's excited to be playing. Like, I mean, he wasn't really being used. And now he's playing. He entered a scrum last night and everybody just kind of stopped. You know what I mean? I love it when we have guys like that. He's not like a fighter, right? But like, you do not want to.
You don't want to.
And the Sharks are kind of quietly have accumulated. I like Bailey in the same way. You know, less upside, I think, but quality fourth line player, right? Who's also, that guy's pretty big. Like, I mean, just seeing him on the ice last night, pretty big guy. So, you know, this is the Mikey Essiman factor, right? You know, if you can find these guys at other teams, if you can sort of rehab their value, you can have them be part of your core, or you can flip them like you flipped Essiman, who was a waiver pickup, and you end up getting draft picks for him. So, a good investment, dude.
Yeah.
Good investment.
Yeah. I think so. And the Sharks are on track to add some more players. They definitely have some cap space, which we'll talk about here in a second.
Sure.
Certainly, the Celebrini watch continues. I am, for whatever reason, I can talk to my Ducks fan and get the lowdown, but I am maybe as optimistic as he was about getting the number one overall pick, especially if Chicago's in that number two slot.
I know, dude. Dude,
I don't want to go like full tinfoil hat, but like, it would be so much better for the league, objectively, if Chicago got the number one pick again and got Celebrini.
I'm going to push back on you on this, though, a little bit, right? I think the Sharks have been an important market for the league for a long time, and this franchise is at a crossroads, right? If they cannot get this team back on track in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, we could see hockey not existing here in the Bay Area anymore, and they could lose this market entirely. Celebrini is from the Bay Area. He grew up playing junior Sharks. His dad is the head trainer for the Golden State Warriors. This is an important of any player.
Right.
This is the guy that they need. If they're going to rig it, you rig it this time for the Sharks, right? Because I think you look at this and you go, gosh, if the Sharks can somehow get Celebrini and Will Smith on the same team in 2 years, that changes everything. They might still suck, right?
At least at first.
But at first, but they will not be boring, right? They will not be boring. Like, they will be exciting to watch. And, dude, I mean, I come on, Bettman, have a freaking soul, right? Like, it's, I'm not counting it. I feel it, dude. I think he's going to be a Shark. I really do believe it. I think he's going to be a Shark, dude. I never believed Bedard would be a Shark, right?
No, no.
And, dude, F the Ducks, dude. Who cares?
That's right.
That team deserves a little pain and misery. They had their moment in the sun.
That's right.
Don't need them to be good. F them.
Exactly.
But the Sharks, Celebrini, I think the stars all align. I think it's a perfect moment for the franchise to have this cool moment where they can have this player who grew up playing in the Bay Area be part of the renaissance of this franchise. It's meant to be, dude.
Yeah, I agree, dude. Dude, let's
agree? Dude.
I agree that it'd be great for the franchise and I would love it, but I don't agree that it's not.
Because now I'm uncomfortable if you are having this sunny side.
No.
Okay,
no,
phew.
Chicago's still going to get that peg.
Okay, good. I'm glad you feel that way, because if you had all of a sudden agreed.
Yeah, no more contrast
with my
on the
optimism, dude. Well, it's not about the podcast. It's just about life balance. I would say I'd want to have you go to the doctor immediately.
Oh, please.
I'd be very concerned.
Oh, man. So thank you to everyone who's been emailing us and posting at dudesonhockey.com. We do appreciate it. I do read all the comments. Doug doesn't read them.
Nope.
But I read them. And we got quite a few comments on the last podcast about people happy to see that we're happy. We're positive in terms of the direction of the franchise. I think keeping Timo Meier and keeping Tomáš Hertl would definitely be in the grand delusion phase of the franchise if we thought that somehow this team was going to go anywhere with those guys still on the roster. And as painful as it has been, it's good to see this turnaround start to happen. And maybe the Sharks have a lot more flexibility. And it seems like some of our listeners agree with us. So I like that. Also, I really like this comment. Question, dudes, do you think you would have 5 or 10 more listeners if you put a little bit more effort into this thing called podcasting? Inquiring minds would like to know. Well, I mean, 5 to 10 sounds like an awful lot. I mean, right? Isn't that overselling it? Like two to three, maybe? I don't know, man. I mean, hasn't the podcast bubble popped now, right? I mean, we were way before, right? Way ahead. We started podcasting in 2008.
Yeah.
2008 was the first podcast. And then everybody got rich, and we didn't, and now everybody's getting laid off, and we're still here.
We're still here, dude. I got to tell you, this is it's a little thing called a hobby,
yeah,
right? You know, right. A little thing called a hobby. And I'm sure, dude, you know, we say we're gonna come back, we're going to try and do it more. We love doing this. It's fun.
It's
you
great.
Know?
And Tom, the other Tom, not that one, the other one says, you guys are the crown jewel of all podcasts.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's also overselling it. So we got...
No. Read that one more time.
We deserve to have 100 times more comments than we get.
Wow.
Love that.
I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks. Mud says we should be on Spotify. I thought I did the Spotify thing. I'll have to look into it, Mud. Sorry about that. You don't upload anything to Spotify, but you put like a link or something. I don't know. I'll look into it.
We get Celebrini.
Yes.
We'll be ready for Spotify.
Then we'll get interns and everything.
Dude, when you think about, we'll talk about the future a little bit here, dude. That Philip Eystad has come over now and has joined the Barracuda, who are one of the only two teams in the AHL to be eliminated from playoff contention, from what I heard.
Great.
When I read that, I was like, why? Like, why are they bringing him over here to be part of this awful AHL team? Why?
One that we've had questions about on previous podcasts, that maybe there's something amiss in that organization.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to understand why the Barracuda are so bad. Like, mm-hmm. They have some of our young developing talent and not the best of our incoming players, and maybe we'll see in the next year or two when some of these guys end their junior eligibility and their college eligibility, that they'll start being part of that team and the team will be better. But they're just bad. Like, it's a bad team.
Yeah.
So why? And then we've also seen, I don't know, at least three guys basically be like, I would rather play overseas than play for you.
Right.
And they're out. Chmielewski.
The English elite league,
right?
Or whatever.
Who's the guy we got from Colorado for Ryan Merkley?
Yeah, what was that guy's name? Well, clearly made a big impression.
He's gone,
yeah.
Right? He didn't, and he was the one who said they were making him fight like it was some sort of vigilante style, right. And the Sharks deny that as the case. And then the Leon Gawanke mm-hmm. kid asked to be released so he could go and play in Europe.
Right.
So that's, am I wrong? Is that weird? I feel like it's weird.
It certainly feels weird to me, but we are not AHL hockey professionals. So another call. If you want to be anonymous and send us an email, if you're in the AHL organization and something isn't going right, we would love to hear that
yeah.
take.
I mean, dude, maybe, this summer when things slow down, we used to do...
Things slow down from here?
well, just in the hockey world,
oh, okay.
Right? We used to do a lot of interviews.
A lot is, again, an oversell, but we did
a handful a year.
We have done.
We that. Have done.
Yes.
And maybe it's possible to get someone from the Sharks broadcasting team or another Sharks blogger who maybe has more experience with the AHL level to kind of weigh in on this, because I don't feel like anybody's really talking about it, which maybe means it's a nothing burger or, dude, we've lifted up the hood.
Right. Or we could interview Patrick Rissmiller in a bathtub. One of my favorite interviews ever.
God.
Oh, man. There's I think there's maybe one person out there that got that.
Dude, so I'm trying to think of who would we have on. We had EJ Raddick on at least once.
Yeah.
More than that.
More than once.
Remember one time he called us.
What's he up to?
He's on the NHL Network, I think.
Yeah. Okay, good.
He called us one time from his car.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, probably, I just had an image of him like, he's just like hauling A down the New Jersey Turnpike,
He's like, oh, I got to talk to these guys now.
No, he liked it, dude. He was always, when the NHL store was in Times Square, we would drop in and say, hey, he was always super cool, Corona.
Yeah, he was really a good dude.
Yeah, good dude. See who else, dude, we had.
Randy Hahn, we had.
We had Randy Hahn.
We had Randy Hahn one time.
That's right. Did we have Mark Smith?
We did have Mark Smith. Mark Smith, wow, yeah.
Scott Cullen.
That's right, Scott Cullen. We did.
That's
yeah.
right. Wow. I feel like we're forgetting.
We're forgetting a few people. I think we're
somebody.
Forgetting. Yeah, we'll have to get somebody else.
Anyways, DB
22 was behind the bench in the AHL All Star game, so maybe he has all the inside info.
Maybe
we can reach out.
But and you know what? If anybody was ever going to not hold anything back, we know it would be Dan Boyle. But dude, that'd be great. Okay, all right, we're gonna try to have Dan Boyle.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. He's still connected to the Sharks.
Sure, he is. Yeah. Who is Someone told this story. Where did I hear this story? Dude, did you tell this story? Something about Jason Demers. Did we talk about this story?
I mean, he's on the telecast, right? Now, like in his in his living room.
There was something about... Where did I hear this story, dude?
This kind of rings a bell.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we'll have to save it for the next podcast since if we're going to try to remember it. What?
No, I remember the story, but like I feel like I heard it like third hand.
Okay.
But anyways, I'll tell it. All right. This may not be right.
This is probably totally wrong.
Yeah. So that Demers was trying to get back up to the NHL level.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To meet a milestone, right? Like games played.
Right.
And he
like
was
a thousandth game
right,
or something. Yeah.
Right.
800th
and
game.
He was playing for an AHL team trying to get called up.
Right. Right. Right.
And he took a penalty and was in the penalty box. And Dan Boyle ended up right next to the penalty box, I guess.
Yeah.
And just like flipped him the bird. While he's sitting in the box, right? You know? So this is the story, right?
Right.
And we have to confirm it with Boyle if we ever talk to him. But
I'm sure he could never confirm or deny.
Oh, he would absolutely confirm this if it happened. It was so funny. I guess like if you're in that moment, I'm sure you're pissed. You're an NHL veteran. You're playing minor leagues. You just took a penalty.
Yeah.
You're sitting down there and there's, you know... Just flipping you the bird. I thought that was funny.
Oh,
I want
man.
It to be true.
I think he got that milestone, though.
He did, I think. Yeah. He did just barely. Yeah. I don't know where I heard this story. Anyways, good story. Good story.
Good times. Good times.
Good times.
Well, dude, with 2 weeks left in the season, we're looking forward to the playoffs. Why don't we revisit where we are in the Vegas draft briefly? It looks like we went over it before in our, you know, pre-recording meeting and...
so official.
Very official in our conference room. And it looks like we're pretty well split. I have the Bruins and the Panthers in the Atlantic, but you have the Leafs. You have the Rangers and the Hurricanes in the Metro. I have the Flyers. And I think I have the Lightning and the Capitals, so I might have slightly more.
I have the Red Wings. So that's an important race there at the end here, although not really. Like whoever ends up playing the Rangers... You know, I think the Rangers are the top team. Is that right? Or is it Boston?
Yeah, no, Rangers have the most points.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to be, you know, anything interesting, right?
Yeah. So it's like I have the Atlantic and you have the Metro right now, and then we'll probably duke it out in the Eastern Conference Final most likely.
Sure.
And the Western Conference is the opposite. You have Dallas and I have Colorado, and you have Winnipeg, and then you have Vancouver, which was, I looked it up, like the 21st overall pick in our draft.
That's the surprise team in the year.
That's
in the
surprise
draft.
Team. And I have the Oilers, and you have Vegas, but I have the Preds. So,
and I have the Kings. So,
right.
You know, I mean, dude, like, I mean, if you're the Vancouver Canucks, right, you know, I mean, how many points ahead of Edmonton are they right now?
They're 5 points
ahead.
Yeah,
so they've kind of comfortably got, you know, that's a tough, like, if your first round matchup is Nashville.
Yeah, and that's their first round matchup, yeah.
How far away is Nashville and the Kings?
Nashville has 3 points more than the Kings, but Nashville has the same number of points as the Knights. So,
right, so, well,
but the Knights have, again, the 3 point lead over the Kings.
Right, so. I mean, that's a tough draw for Vancouver to get maybe the hottest team in hockey, you know, in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of... And with a goalie that can steal anything at any time, that'd be a tough way for Vancouver to go out. I'm not excited about that. I definitely hope that the Kings end up passing the Predators. I would way rather see that matchup first for them, although, I mean, I have Dallas as well. So, I mean, like, that's tough stuff, actually. Those are two more daunting playoff foes than on the other side if you draw the Capitals. Now, whoever gets Tampa Bay first, dude.
They're not going to be happy. And right now, that's going to be the Boston. That's the Boston Bruins right now.
Yeah, that stinks. So, by far, the most dangerous wild card team is Tampa.
Yep. Washington, a minus 31 goal differential, and they're in the playoff.
I don't know how they're pulling this off. I mean, they sold at the deadline, but they are somehow in the mix. I can't imagine that they're going to actually cross the finish line.
I mean, the Rangers are going to crush them like a bug, right?
Yeah, no, that would be...
Or the Wings are going to pass them.
Right. I mean,
even the Islanders have a shot. Honestly, they're only 3 points back from the Wings. So,
the Islanders, what a bizarre situation there, right? Like, that's a team that is completely caught in limbo. Like, how, I know they've turned now to Patrick Waugh to save their,
they're just thrashing.
Yeah, they're in no man's land. Like, that's a bad spot to be as a franchise. Like, they just don't really seem to know where to go. And they're kind of locked in with a bunch of long-term deals. They're not going to get anybody to voluntarily go there. Tough stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, it's crazy to say, but I'd rather be where the Sharks are.
Yeah, no, I would too. And I think that if the Sharks had kept Carlson and kept Timo Meier and kept Hurdle, right? And kept Brent Burns.
Right.
Right? Would they be the worst team in hockey? No. They wouldn't, dude. Don't you think they would be... Like, they would be in and around the Minnesota Wild right now, right?
Totally agree.
Just nipping at the heels of a wild card spot. They would not be out of it. But
and hoping for that lightning in a bottle, that one, you know, snake eyes roll where everything breaks right in the playoffs and the number 8 seed makes a run, which happens once every 15 years.
So, and they would still have all of these long-term salary commitments, including a new shiny 8-year deal to Timo Meier. It'd be bad.
Yeah.
It would be bad. So no, the Sharks, while on the ice results now are painful. They have the ability to get better soon, dude. I mean, like, I think that this, we could really see a change in their positioning in the next 2 years, dude. They're not going to be good, but I think we're going to start to see them be
better. Yeah.
Watchable, exciting.
Definitely. Definitely. And we got a lot of picks in this coming draft, so.
We do, and you know, you alluded to the cap space that's available for the Sharks to use to acquire future assets, which is what we assume they're going to be doing over the next couple of years. Some short-term significant money commitments. You want to give us a player that's making $6 million for one more year? You want to give us a high draft pick or a prospect to take it off your hands if the player's no good anymore? Yeah. Okay, we'll take them.
Given the cap situations of many teams, I mean, that could be those could be some really great deals that you could make. I know, sure, the Coyotes did it a million times, and that you just say, yeah, I'll take your whoever, and you got to sweeten the pot a little because we're going to be sitting here with all this money on our books, and there it is. Then you're going to be, you know, down in the near the bottom again. Man, talk about the Coyotes, though. Whew. They're bad again, and they got no place to play. They're in. I don't know what's going to happen to them. Are they going to get moved? Do you think? I think they're going to get moved. That ownership group is a dog with fleas, it seems like, and they're dealing with this, you know, Arizona State University arena, which is charming in its way, but it's not an NHL arena, right? It's a little embarrassing. It's fun as a lark to go, and you know, I went with some friends last season to see a game. It's fun as a goof, but you don't want like that to be your selling point. Arizona Coyotes, where people go to see the games as a goof.
Yeah, dude, I don't see, and I'm not sure how much longer the league's going to be able to tolerate that. Where they go, I don't know.
I mean, we've heard
mention of Salt Lake City. I mean, that certainly seems like a city and an environment that would be excited about supporting professional sports. I mean, just having visited there over the Christmas break, I mean, they are mad about their Utah Jazz. Like, they love the Utah Jazz. And could there be an appetite to add another sports team to that market? I certainly think so. You know, so that makes sense. You kind of keep them in that same division and you're not turning things upside down too much, dude. I mean, I saw our article about hockey going back to Atlanta again.
Again with this?
Why?
That I really don't understand. I think that experiment has been well run twice already, and the Thrashers didn't even stay there that long. It's not like the Thrashers had like a good 20-year run and then had to move. I mean, they were there 10, 12 years. I can't remember exactly, but they weren't there for very long.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I mean, I'm solely focused on Celebrini. Yeah. That's all I can think about.
That's all you can think about. Wake up in the morning.
I can't be bothered with Shane Doan's son.
That's right. That's
enough right. with the son. Enough.
All right, dude. Go Sharks, sort of.
No. Go Celebrini.
Go Celebrini.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.